But the reality is, every time a kid clicks, it could actually turn into something bad. So we really have to take that very seriously, spend a little bit more time, again, on the front end with what's acceptable use, what's digital citizenship. Once you post something online, any social media, it's out there forever. I don't care about Snapchat, whatever. I hear it all the time. You can take a screen print of a Snapchat, you know, or a screenshot, and then all of a sudden it's there. Somebody can post it. So we have to be very cognizant of what we do at both as adults and students.
You're listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This is our District Talk segment where we interview district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday shine online. Now, let's get back to the interview.
So I'm Brandon Quinn, superintendent of the Alcorn School District here in Corinth, Mississippi. We have about 3,200 students, three school campuses, K-12 campuses, along with a career and technical education center.
Hello, my name is Tom Burton, proud superintendent of Princeton City Schools, which is located just outside of Cincinnati, just north, right on I-75. And we love the fact that 6,000 students each day enter our doors ready to learn with a staff that's caring, compassionate, and know that they could change the world.
Hello, my name is Natasha Adams. I am the proud superintendent of West Claremont School District. We're located in Cincinnati, Ohio, and happen to be the most western Appalachian school district in the state of Ohio. So we serve about 8,400 students, and that is within 9 school buildings.
Amazing. So my first question for you is, how has the prevalence of technology and social media in the classroom impacted student learning and engagement?
I think technology has changed the game, period, in the classroom. Students come in, and a lot of teachers and even parents think, hey, students were born, they know how to use this stuff. That's not actually true, not for educational purposes. So I think ultimately what we've had to do and continue to have to do is educate our staff, educate our teachers. How can we utilize this to better instruct our students? And how can we teach our students to utilize it safely? But it has allowed for students to engage across different school campuses. So like I said earlier, we've got 3 campuses, and through technology, we've been able to use Google Meets. We've been able to use Google Docs. We've had students that have collaborated across those campuses, different grade levels that have collaborated across the campuses, and then different teachers who constantly are teaching across campuses, even in our career technical departments with other school districts.
Yeah, I think it's critical. You know, it's so funny because I'm taking, currently I'm doing this class through ISTE on AI, and I'm 100 years old. So that's why I feel so comfortable talking about this, is that, you know, when social media first came out, it was kind of like AI right now. You hear so many people running away from it. But I don't know why, maybe I was lucky or whatever, but I always thought that social media can be critical to helping drive and engage and help students understand. However, there's a way to do it safely. And that's why I think we need help and support specifically in that realm when it comes to K-12 education. There is a heavy prevalence of that in each school district. I'm blessed to be able to travel across the country. And when I do, that's what my colleagues talk about. As superintendent, you know, we worry each day that someone's going to say or do something they shouldn't online. But we have systems we believe that we've created. We have wonderful partners that help us keep our kids safe.
Technology has really made a big impact on the level of engagement that we've been able to offer our students. West Claremont was unique in that when I first came on as a superintendent 5 years ago, we were just beginning. I think we had 4 grade levels had technology one-to-one. At that time, when March 2020 happened, we had to get really creative and get devices into the hands of everyone. So since March of 2020, we've been a one-to-one district. And so there's been a lot of learning going on here. And what that learning has been able to help us do is to go deeper with our learning, to connect with outside experts into our community, whether it's a Zoom or through research, being able to bring new voices into the classroom, or if it's been to be able to move passive learning into just content consumption into content creation. And that has certainly changed outcomes for our students and increased the levels of engagement.
What advice would you have to other school districts to deal with social media issues that might originate on social media apps and might even create a problem on campus on Monday morning with the district or the school?
So my advice for other districts to try to get in front of social media before it lands on campus is really just to educate parents, try to find a way to meet with parents, send information out to parents, because that's where it's starting to originate. If the parents don't help us hold students accountable and to guide students in their social media, once it lands on campus, it is super hard to regulate. It's hard for our administrators who spend hours upon hours trying to run things down. It's super difficult on SROs and law enforcement as we have to dig into some of this stuff that can become very dangerous, and it can cost students JDC time, juvenile detention time. I mean, there's a lot of laws that are wrapped around it. So if we can just keep from having to navigate it on campus by educating those parents, that's the first step.
I think that's a tremendous question. That's one that I think many of my colleagues and I, we wrestle with. But I would say this, you have to be in the know. You have to understand where kids are going. So for instance, I'll never forget when Instagram first came out, people were like, it's never going to stay here. All you're doing is taking pictures, right? So we can bury our head, but understanding the platform and understanding kind of the nuances. Now, again, I'm not an expert at Instagram or social media, but our team in and of itself, they understand the recent and current platforms that are there. The other thing too is I think not being afraid to have courageous conversations with kids on the front end. You know, digital citizenship is so critical, and it doesn't just end with what kids are searching online. It's also about the apps and what they're doing social media wise. So I think really it starts at the very, very beginning with helping kids understand how to use technology and specific social media appropriately. But we know that kids don't always do that. And I would be really, I would make sure that all of your student handbooks and all that specifically spell out that something that happens off campus, if it spills on campus, we could actually discipline for that inappropriate behavior. If there's things that go on, and we know this happens all the time anymore. That's why I think, Josh, when it looks specifically back at what we can do, I think it starts at the beginning when we actually can help kids understand how to do things appropriately.
I know many school districts face issues with social media apps and how the complication from what happens outside of the school ends up being coming inside of the school. And I know a natural inclination sometimes is just to shut everything down. We really take the philosophy of limiting social media connection during the school day, but we are not about shutting down access to tools online. That we know that where there's a will, there's a way, and kids will get their hands on them. And so what's most vitally important to us is that we're teaching best practice for our students, that we're helping them know the do's and the don'ts and the rights and the wrongs of using social media so that it is part of their everyday classroom experience and not just a one-off or a special event, because social media is their life. And there are some great benefits to it and there are some risks. And so we try to work really hard along with our students and our parents to educate them on those benefits and risks.
Love that. I love where you're going with that. My next question for you, Superintendent, is, can you please provide some examples of how your students have used social media in a positive or a productive way that may have benefited themselves or their community?
We have several clubs within our schools, just as most school districts do, but we have a lot of students that have put out, especially juniors and seniors, as they're starting to look at scholarships, they're starting to look at awards. So for example, I have a student who recently won the Mississippi School Board Association scholarship, and that student, through over 200 hours of community service, posted all of this information and all the things that he had done within the community, from mowing yards to working at the local animal shelter to advocating for students' rights as a president of the school. He put all of this on social media. It started to get some hits and some likes within the state, and the School Board Association actually reached out to us before the scholarship was offered and ask us if they could meet the young man. So they interviewed the young man. The young man, without applying, actually won the scholarship award. So we were excited about that.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you asked that question. Our girls basketball team just won the Division I state championship game. So easily, I mean, easily, it's all over social media. So Twitter, Instagram, oh my goodness, TikTok, it was Facebook. I mean, it was all over everywhere, which is wonderful. But I think that's our go-to so often. We think about big events. We think about the ability to kind of convey scores or to talk about what happened at a play or a musical or specific artwork. All those are positive ways of using social media. But I like to say this, that we have the ability in education to change a narrative with how kids curate information. And that's one way that we do it. We allow kids to curate their information, what they've learned, how far they've improved in terms of whether it's art or even a specific speaking skill. So that's one way of doing that. And because it's twofold, right? So you put it on social media, which is wonderful for people to see. But the other aspect of it is this curation. So kids literally can go back and see how far they've improved.
Well, we've been working in a cohort of teachers, students, and staff. It's called the Student-Centered Learning Ecosystem. And it's a group of teachers and staff and community partners coming together to figure out, how do we do that handshake with our community that's very effective, that poses a problem that's in the real world that our students could engage with and get inspired by? And one of our teachers recently has been working with her students to create West Claremont Senior Citizen podcasts. And so she goes out and with her students, they interview students to kind of tell the story of our community. And it's a great connection because our students are building relationships with senior citizens of our community. They're also learning about our community and being able to share that story and create a venue that goes beyond the newspaper or just a presentation, but something that can endure. And so these community partnerships that we make and learning connections that we are working to build is certainly increasing engagement, increasing our ability to tell our story as a district and to bring our generations together. And so that's something we're very proud of.
In the age of one-to-one, how is your school district preparing students for positive technology use in the classroom?
So I think when you talk about one-to-one, and I'm assuming you're talking about every student having a device, teaching responsibility from day one. And I'm talking about our students currently have devices in pre-K. We've got one-to-one devices in our pre-Ks, in our kindergartens, but ultimately teaching the responsibility of not just handling the device itself, but what we're doing on the device. I don't know that by the time a student becomes a junior and a senior, if we have not set a foundation of what they can do, should do, what the repercussions are, the consequences could be. I don't know if we're too late as juniors and seniors. So I think we have to set a firm foundation early on in the elementary school on what those expectations are, what the dangers are, and what, you know, how technology can make things better, because there's a lot of positive aspects to it. We just have to show them what the positive things are.
So, you know, right before the pandemic, we had this beautiful technology plan, and it said something like, within 3 years, we're going to be one-to-one, because, you know, obviously it's a lot of money. But the second the pandemic happened, the very first thing I talked about was we have to get everybody in our district one-to-one. And so we did. It was crazy. We had like this 2-mile car line with us passing out Chromebooks and MiFis to make sure that kids had connectivity. We were partnering with housing authorities, trying to get them to open up their Wi-Fi and doing all this. So right now we are one-to-one, and we're really proud of the fact that we're one-to-one in our school district. But that's just part of it. It's not about a device. It's how kids use a device to accent their learning. So we have to help kids understand how to use the technology in a productive and responsible way. We have digital citizenship classes that we have for our community, our parents, so that they understand what to do. We also have our students, from a technical standpoint, they have to sign off acceptable use policies. And we actually spend a lot of time talking to kids about the acceptable use of technology. The other thing, too, is that, you know, we partner with other organizations and they come in and they talk to our students, our staff, our parents. We have a beautiful parent educational community series And within that series, we actually tackle concepts like digital citizenship, protecting yourself online. In fact, we are bringing in a couple different people from DC next year, even though I'm retiring at the end of this year, but we are bringing people in from DC to be able to talk about the cryptology, right? And how important it is to look at these different websites. How are you protecting your identity and how are you protecting your password? And there are these great resources that are there. And again, so many times, like there's so many aspects that happen in each day. If you're a leader, a teacher, a student, but the reality is every time a kid clicks, it could actually turn into something bad. So we really have to take that very seriously, spend a little bit more time again on the front end with what's acceptable use, what's the digital citizenship. Once you post something online, any social media, it's out there forever. I don't care about Snapchat, whatever. I hear it all the time. You can take a screen print of a Snapchat, you know, or a screenshot, and then all of a sudden it's there. Somebody can post it. So we have to be very cognizant of what we do at both as adults and students.
You know, using technology has to be very thoughtful in a classroom. It can't be an event. It has to be part of the everyday work. And so we try very hard just to integrate it into the work that we're doing. Whenever we are offering a research project or creating a work with a community partner, we're building in that learning right alongside. It's integrated into what we do. And that's what we're most proud of, is that we are being intentional in our efforts. And it's not about an exercise that you do one day, but it's an intentional part of the learning as you learn your core content. As you're learning these 21st century skills, you're also paying attention to cybersecurity, internet safety, and keeping that top of mind for our students and our staff.
How have you been successful in increasing parent engagement to help keep students safe on social media?
So parent engagement is a big thing for me. Coming in as a superintendent, parent engagement was little to none. And I've been in this district for almost 20 years. I've had three kids coming through the school system. And reaching out to parents was not something that we did a lot from a district level. But I feel like now is the time that we've got to reach out to those parents. So we have, not only by hiring you guys and being a part of Smart Social VIP program, but also bringing them into the boardroom, bringing them into community meetings, sending weekly or monthly reminders of Smart Social and the things that are out there, what those programs are. A lot of times we see things like TikTok has a big thing going on, and we see kids that are involved in that. So we'll send out a reminder. Smart Social is talking about TikTok. Here's the link. Here's the information. Here's where you can go find it. But we keep it in front of our parents. So we're constantly reminding parents of the dangers. When all the dangerous acts, I forget what they were called, when they were all, you know, students were tearing up bathrooms and they were doing all these challenges, we would send weekly updates to parents. And we'd tell them what the name of the challenge was. We'd say, go look it up. This is what it is. But have those conversations with your child before they come in. One of the things that I've seen by doing that is students don't want their parents to know. And so they don't want them to know what's out there. So when we send things to them, I hear students saying, why did you tell my parents about that? I see parents, when we have orientations at the beginning of the school year, I will speak at each one of our campuses. And part of my conversation is on social media. A lot of what I'll do is I'll have my screen up in the background. I have Smart Social's QR code up. Parents can shoot it. They can sign up for it right then. I have seen students take parents' cell phones away from them and say, no, I don't want you to sign up for that. So it's encouraging, though, to see and to hear the numbers of families that have signed up and have been a part of it. I have heard parents have conversations at ball games. And parents ask other parents, do you know about this app? And that parent look funny at them and they'll say, what app? And they say, did you not read your Smart Social this week? Did you not look on Smart Social this week? Because they're keeping up with it. We have a lot of parents that are very engaged and very involved. And because of those parents, they continue to share that information?
Well, you know, we try very often to connect with parents authentically. So we have all kinds of programs that allows parents to come in to school. We connect virtually with parents. We provide information for students. And so I think we do a lot. But the reality is, for me as a superintendent, to think that every single kid is safe online and doing everything appropriately, that would be, I would not be telling the truth. I know that there are things that are out there. And I think one of the aspects is when you have something that goes awry, we would never say a name or whatever, but we actually talk about that at our subsequent meetings so that everybody understands this situation happened. Now, we may change the platform a little bit to protect the student or the parent who did something or said something they shouldn't have done. So we actually really try to engage as much as we can and then actually tell stories, current stories or recent stories, so that people can understand the seriousness of what happens when they do or they say something that they shouldn't do online.
Well, something that we've been doing since February of last school year is what we call interactive town halls. These are engagement opportunities that is a face-to-face event where we are inviting our students, our staff, our community members, our families to come to a cafeteria or a gymnasium at our schools. We sit in round tables and we create interactive activities that help our community, A, have the same data and information in our hands so that they are wrestling with the same challenges that we're having, either with student social emotional well-being or educational programming, academic performance. We're putting that same data in their hands. We're creating authentic dialogue that allows people to kind of interact, pose questions, and truly get to the root cause and understand the issues so that we're kind of all at the same page. And then as part of the exercise, we start moving to solutions. So we're ideating, what are some possibilities out there to solve some of our biggest challenges? And knowing the well-being of our students and the safety of our students is a top priority of our families, this has certainly come up at the table. You know, we've introduced ideas such as ChatGPT and all the innovations with AI that are coming our way and happening so quickly in the lives of our students and our staffs and our families that it can be dizzying. And so we are trying our best to make sure that these engagements that we're having on it's about every other month, we're bringing families together to have these conversations and wrestle with the challenges of what kind of a factory model school system up against what modern life and how we need to change is so imperative. And the use of technology certainly comes into every single one of those conversations.
Thanks for listening to our SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This was our District Talk segment where we interview school district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday launch into their future by shining online. This episode was brought to you by our SmartSocial.com VIP program. It's called the Very Informed Parent Program, which helps you engage your students with teen-led video lessons. Stay one step ahead with our premium parent newsletter and discover hidden features on trending apps on teens' phones and our 54 plus live parent and student friendly events every single year. You can click on the link below to chat with one of our team members if you want a free pass to our VIP program to support your community with our smartsocial.com resources. And if you're a district leader who has a success story, we would love to feature you on a future episode. You can click the links below to reach out. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Have a great day. You're listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This is our District Talk segment where we interview district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday shine online. Now, let's get back to the interview.